Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And my guest today, she is going to, of course, you know, talk about the kind of semi-traditional journey of her Lyme story. But I know that we're going to dive a little bit deeper today in the kind of the family dynamics of what goes through, what we go through when we're dealing with Lyme and what our families go through. And sometimes our families get, you know, separated because of it. We're going to kind of dive a little bit deeper into the emotional side of this too. So I'm excited to have her and just share her journey with me. KJ, welcome to the show. And thank you so much for taking the time to share with me and all the listeners.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to share my journey with you. And as I was preparing for this, I felt like if I can help one person feel seen or heard on his or her Lyme journey, that whatever I say will be a success tonight in this next hour.
Absolutely. And I've said the same thing for years, and it just, so we're just going to start it right off. So many things that we go through are so similar, because that was my exact thought. I couldn't have gone through 13 years of this misery to go in vain, to go for no reason. I'm like, I've got to share my voice. And if I just help one person, it's all worth it. So we think a lot alike in that. And I can assure you that what you're about to share with us today, I know many listeners can probably relate to you, and maybe they can pick up some tips and tricks from you too, to kind of incorporate into their own journey that they're going through right now. So I'm excited to dive into it with you. So where do we start? I'll just kind of let you talk about it, if you know about a tick bite or you just randomly got sick. So wherever you want to start your journey, we'll start.
Okay. I think it's important to kind of start out, and this is probably similar of a lot of Lyme warriors, former perfectionist, two-time valedictorian, high school and college, you know, just had that type A. When I got sick, I had a home-based business. I was with Premier Designs Jewelry, and I had just received achieved the level of senior leadership in a five-year period, which was pretty unheard of. And I was very proud of what I was doing, and I felt like I had the world in my hand. You know, I felt pretty invincible, to be honest with you. This was July of 2010. So I'm in year 16 of this, I believe. I was around 40 years old. And I was supposed to the next week be to Texas, which we had all our big conventions there. And I was going to be honored in the room of thousands of people for hitting the senior leadership. And I was so excited about it. And I was working, you know, a lot of hours to attain that. And so the week before, my now ex-husband and my daughter and a friend of hers went to Hocking Hills. I'm in Ohio, so not everyone will be familiar with Hocking Hills, but beautiful area. You know, just the hills, and we did horseback riding and hiking and just had a great, great time. And it was kind of a quick little getaway before Mom was going on another business trip, because I trained all over the country and I was, you know, pretty busy with that. Never saw a tick bite. There was no tick bite. I never, you know, the one thing I do want to mention is, you know, we had one of those outdoor hot tubs, and we were instructed, you know, you take a canister of these chemicals and you pour these chemicals in it every day. And, you know, all four of us enjoyed being outside in this hot tub, and boy, that was great. Well, what I didn't know is, it's kind of confusing, but all those chemicals basically just settled in my pelvic floor, and I was in excruciating bladder pain. So it seems like, well, what's that got to do with Lyme disease? But that's where mine started. Mine started in the urinary tract. Never saw this tick bite. I got back home just in excruciating. You know, if you've ever had a UTI, you take that times a million, and that's the kind of pain I was in. And you went to the doctor, and, oh, you got a bladder infection. Here's some antibiotics. Wasn't getting better. Well, I knew I had to hop on a plane in a few days to get this big award. And so I went thinking I was going to be better. Well, I ended up in the ER down in Texas. Just excruciating pain. Ended up in the ER. They put me on 3 more antibiotics in that month's time. Long story short, that also turned into vulvodynia, if you don't know what vulvodynia is, you're lucky. That is extreme vulvar pain to the point where, you know, your OBGYN can't take a Q-tip and touch you without you in excruciating pain. So I lived with an ice pack between my legs for months. So it started out in the pelvic floor, and I don't know if it, you know, some people know this, but I've been told that Lyme goes to your weakest areas. And that was a weak area for me. I am a sexual abuse survivor, molested at a young age and raped in my 20s, and Lyme had a field day. And then, as I was preparing for this, one of the first things was, you know, what are your symptoms? Also, I had spinal injury from many car accidents. And then also when I gave birth to my daughter, I broke my tailbone. So Lyme settled in my tailbone, and I had a epidural. They gave me 5 epidurals instead of one because they kept hitting my bone instead of the space in between. So needless to say, Lyme also had a field day in my spinal column. So I still had this business. I was trying to keep this business going. And one of the things that Lyme did was it took my ability to think, which I know is very common. I would be trying to send out invitations to home shows. It should take me 20 minutes. It'd take me 3 hours. I would try to do an exercise class. I couldn't follow the instructions. And for someone that was so proud of what her mind could do in the past, that it was heartbreaking.
And being a perfectionist, right?
Yes.
Like, because it's amazing how many people go through this journey that have that type A personality, and, you know, everything's got to be just right. And I was the same way. And I think it makes it a little extra frustrating for us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, talk about humbling when you can't send an invite out. You know, all it was changing wording on a template and then printing it out. And it would take me 3 hours. And I didn't know what happened in my brain because I didn't know what was wrong with me. We kept continuing. And I, like I said, as I was preparing for this, it then hit my GI system, and I was passing foot-long parasites for months. Within about 3 months, I lost 100 pounds, and I was down to 106 pounds. I was wearing my daughter's clothes. She was in middle school at the time, and we were sharing clothes.
Is this before you even know it's Lyme and you're not even treating yet?
I'm not treating. I'm going to I checked my phone, and I have 30 MDs still in my phone that I saw over a 7-year period. And I went to 3 states for help. I live in Ohio. I went to Texas. I went to Kentucky. I was with the Cleveland Clinic, who which I find it interesting. I was asked how I got Lyme in Ohio by a Cleveland Clinic doctor. So, you know,
that says a lot, right?
Yeah. So I just, and then I also developed chemical sensitivity and I had mold. So I was still trying to do these home shows and, you know, the ladies like to burn their candles and have this nice atmosphere. And I started having to say, please no candles. And I couldn't listen to music. Everything was too loud. And again, another, you know, Lyme went to this right ear. It was like an ice pick going in this right ear, and this side of my jaw. And that was from a botched wisdom tooth surgery in my teens. So, you know, wherever my weakest areas are, that's where it went. And it just had a field day.
Wow. So, and I believe that too, right? It goes, because for one, we can get bit by a tick. If our immunity is strong and we're thriving, we don't have any symptoms, right? But you can go years and then you can have a physical trauma, emotional trauma, and it's going to break down some part of your body and bam, then the pathogens have a heyday in your body.
Absolutely.
Right? I believe that's how it is.
I believe my immunity was weak. My mom died in 05 and I got sick in 2010, but I feel that we were very, very close. And I feel the stress of taking care of her and also then the business that I was a perfectionist. And so I really shouldn't have been able to reach senior leadership in 5 years. It was kind of unheard. I was taking people 15 years to do that. So I was juggling a lot of balls. My daughter was young. I was trying to be super mom there and a good wife and a good daughter and a businesswoman. And up until then I could do all of that. And so my body just said enough.
Yeah. So at what point did you realize, okay, there's something more than going on than, you know, the UTI that they say, or just, you know, kind of those pelvic issues, because, you know, now you got the ear thing and your memory and just probably feeling a lot of fatigue too, and just not being able to handle it. What point were you like, okay, no, something is going on.
Right. You know, every time you go to urinate, it's like razor blades. You can't walk down the street without peeing your pants. bladder spasms. I was doing shows, you know, still trying to do home shows, and I was wearing not Depends, but something similar, because I was afraid I'd be up in front of 15 women doing a home show and just lose control, because I could lose control at any second. There would be no warning. And you know, talk about humiliation and talk about you not feeling like, just not having control of your life, of anything. Everything was losing control. So the bladder thing was the main thing overall, so many other things. But so I started going to urologist, and you probably haven't heard this. That, you know, again, you're lucky if you don't know what a bladder installation is. But what they started doing is they said, I was officially diagnosed with IC, which is interstitial cystitis, which means inflammation of your bladder wall. And they did, you know, scope, and they said it looked like a Christmas tree, and there was just all, you know, sore and all, and so they said, well, we're going to start doing these installations on you. And so we would have to go to a special pharmacy and pick up like a quart or so of wood solvent. It's wood pulp, DMSO. And I would go for 6 weeks. I think I tried this, and they would have this quart of solvent, and they would put a catheter in, and they would blow my bladder up as big as I could get it. And I was supposed to hold that liquid for as long as I could, and then empty it, and it was supposed to basically numb my bladder. Well, all it did was make it worse. So I was doing that, and then they had the idea of well, you're done having kids. I was 41. You're done having kids. So let's just take everything out. We're going to do a complete hysterectomy. Why? There's nothing wrong with my uterus. Why are you doing it? So I didn't do that. And then I spent months and months and months in pelvic physical therapy. Probably four different providers because I wasn't helping. Oh, maybe this person knows better how to help me. So all over the area, every physical PT there was, I was doing that. And this just kept going on and on and on. Then, it, you know, by this time it hit my GI system. And so now I'm, passing one foot worms for months. And it's like,
and what was your reaction to that? Because, you know, even just outside of Lyme, like I believe that we all have some level form of parasites, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that that's a lot for our journeys is to do these parasite cleanses. In fact, that's one thing that I will continue to do forever is a couple of times a year, I do a parasite cleanse. I follow it up with some colonics because it's so important and they can wreak havoc on our body. So, but I, you know, didn't know any of this before Lyme. And so what's going through your head when you discover what you're finding in the toilet? I mean, that had to be just mind blown.
It was the most bizarre. It was so bizarre because it would be like, okay, I want to keep getting these things out of me. They're living inside of me or they're dead or whatever. I want to keep doing this, but this is the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then by this time I was with the naturopath and he had me taking pictures of this so he could see them, you know? So here I am taking pictures of 1 foot worms, you know, and I sat there and I'm like, how on earth did I go from my former life to taking pictures of 1 foot worms in the toilet every morning? I mean,
I'm sorry. I have to laugh because I'll never forget. That was, I mean, you know, this is the show about Lyme and beyond, right? Right. All the things we're going to talk about, and there's nothing off limits because it's part of our journeys, right? And absolutely, so many of us don't know what to expect, what they're going to go through. But I was laughing because I did the same thing. I would take my phone and take pictures of it, right? I would actually pull my feces out of the toilet. I would dissect it. You know, I'd cut into it. I mean, it's a whole thing. And anytime, you know, a friend or a family would want to look at my phone or they wanted to, you know, scroll through a section of pictures, I remember I always said, beware. You never know what you might come across on my camera roll.
I remember.
Enter at your own risk.
Putting it on a piece of toilet paper because my doctor wanted to see them. Putting it on a piece of toilet paper and they'd be on my phone. And it was just crazy. And, at first I was like, man, I don't want to show my male doctor. But he's a Lyme and cancer specialist. So he's seen it all. So. Yeah,
exactly.
So it took me 7 years from when I got sick until I got a diagnosis. Basically,
ditto.
Common. Basically, I was just a depressed, anxious female, and here's some Zoloft. Mm-hmm. The family piece there. You know, oh, you're depressed about your mom dying. I thought I was on top of the world. I was making six figures at a business I had started from nothing. I had 150 women on my team. I was in the top 20 sponsors in the country. I was doing training all over. I was taking, you know, at that time, my now ex-husband to Hawaii and to Mexico, and I was not depressed. I thought I was on top of the world.
Home life, you know, you're thriving financially, husband, daughter.
Yeah.
Like what? Couldn't be any better.
I thought I was on top of the world. I thought I had made it. You know, I had made it. So it wasn't ringing true to me that I was depressed or anxious over my mother dying 5 years earlier. That wasn't ringing true to me. So I kept going. I've made a little list here, you know, GI, urology, neurology, allergy, chiropractic, functional med, pelvic floor. I mean, pretty much everyone, you know, every specialty there was. So I finally went to a neurologist because I was having this driving ice pick pain in my right ear and down my jaw. And I went to a local neurologist and he said, well, I don't think it's Lyme, but, you know, facial pain is a symptom of Lyme disease. So just for shits and giggles, let's test you for Lyme. But I don't think it's going to be that. Well, I had already spent 7 years researching about 8 hours a day. I made it a full-time job. I was researching 8 hours a day how to save my life. And I pretty much thought I had Lyme disease. Everything was checked. I was checking all the boxes, but no one would listen. Family-wise or medical. Nobody believed me.
And did you know anything about Lyme?
Just from my research, I'll never forget when Avril Lavigne was on the People magazine and she came out with having Lyme. I remember looking at that and I'm like, I have Lyme, and I had done so much research by this time that I really thought that that's what it was. And so I went to this neurologist and he just, as a side note, he says, okay, we're going to test you for Lyme. I had given up asking because no one was listening to me. I was just this depressed, anxious female, And so he tested me and I'll never forget. I got the call from his nurse and she said, well, he doesn't think you have it. And I said, what do you mean he doesn't think I have it? I said, I'll be up to pick up my test. And I picked it up and I had 8 out of the 10 bands were positive. And I knew enough by my research that I had Lyme disease. And wow. I had had
that 8 out of 10 bands. That's got to be CDC positive.
Absolutely. And I took that, you have the one part where it's an acute infection. Well, I knew it wasn't acute. I hadn't had this in the last, by this time I had had it 7 years. So this was a chronic infection. And I had had, that was on a Friday. On a Monday, the past the weekend and then the next week, I had an appointment already scheduled with an allergy specialist because my throat was raw, my ear and all that. I was hitting every medical person I could think of. And I contacted his office and he said, I don't know a thing about Lyme. I'm going to study all weekend. And when you come on Monday, we're going to look at your tests. And I went to him on that Monday and he said, you have the worst case of neurological Lyme ever reported. How are you getting out of bed?
And that's an allergist.
Yeah, an allergist. How are you getting out of bed? And in the next breath, he said, I wish you well. I can't help you.
Yeah.
And by this time I had already been researching a local naturopath who studied Lyme and cancer. That's all he does is Lyme and cancer. But of course, no insurance coverage for any of this. Finances are going tighter and tighter and tighter. You got to stick with insurance. We got to do insurance. And so by this time I was down to 106 pounds. I'm 5'8". My heart was beating so hard. I literally thought my heart would stop. And I was just like, I got to go because, I was barely leaving the home at this point. So isolated. And just, I went from being on stage in Texas, accepting this amazing award, going to Hawaii, where I also ended up in the ER in Hawaii too. We're in the best hotel in Hawaii and I'm at the ER. So I just kept pushing myself because I had this team and there was expectations of you're the leader and you can't not go to Hawaii on a trip you earned. And anyway,
and we're perfectionists and we're superwoman. We can do it all. I kept thinking, okay, I got to just push harder through work. It's just fatigue. It's just stress. It's just anxiety. I can do this. And so we work harder and harder. And I think that even allows, our body to be more suppressed. And so it
absolutely.
just, can spread even
absolutely
more.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was getting no sleep by this point because I was in so much pain, you know, sleeping with an ice pack between my legs to try to just calm the burning down. And it just, it was just living hell. I mean, there's no other way of wording it.
Yeah.
So, you know, just kept going from doctor to doctor to doctor. So finally I see this naturopath and he tested so many different things. And when I first went, you know, a lot of muscle testing and I remember when I first saw him, I had three full sheets of things that were wrong with me that he found. Three full sheets, molds, co-infections, Lyme, every infection and
you're an anything. Overachiever. You get it all.
Yeah, I'm an overachiever. So I had three sheets and, you know, your house needs fumigated for mold and, you know, okay, some more expense. And so, you know, and I just looked at him and I'm like, you know, is there any hope for me? Like, is there any hope? And I remember him saying, you know, you can get better, but it's going to be a really, really long road. And I was like, okay.
It's been a long road just to get my diagnosis, right?
Right.
How much do I have left?
Right. So by this point, it was 2017. I had already had two doctors tell me they didn't know what was wrong with me, but they didn't think I would make it. There was a year my daughter was graduating from high school. And I told them, the chiropractor I was seeing at the time, get me to her high school graduation and the rest is gravy, you know, whatever I have after that. So, and she said, we're not going to talk like that. And I'm like, well, that's how I feel. And she said, don't step on a scale again, because at this point I was 106 pounds. Every bone was sticking out of my body. You know, the whispers behind my back were she has cancer or it's anorexia or she's on drugs. And I've never smoked even a regular cigarette in my life. So, you know, I would, oh, and also my thyroid tanked too, you know, so my thyroid was gone. I'd wear three sweatshirts to bed to try to just stay warm. There wasn't a system on my body that was working. And we started with the naturopath and we started on supplements and everything he gave me, I couldn't take. Everything he tried, I couldn't tolerate. So I could have opened a supplement store out of my house. So sensitive to everything. I was down to Cleveland Clinic didn't know what to do with me. So they were like, we're going to have you just eat bison and cauliflower for a month, just to try to calm your system down. So I lived on bison, cauliflower, and coconut butter for like a month because that was supposed to calm any. I couldn't eat anything. I couldn't smell things. I couldn't hear things. Every system was on high alert. So I just kept going and going. And my doctor, my naturopath said, well, I want you to try this Hackett therapy, which is ozone therapy, sauna, and some essential oils. And this was months into treating with him because he's like, you're not ready for that. So when I finally started that, you're supposed to be in the machine about 30 minutes twice a week. We started at 15. You know, we started on the lowest ozone. And I think I tried that, I don't know, maybe a week or so, and I was in a head-to-toe rash from a Herxheimer reaction. All of those bugs were trying to get out faster than my skin would let them out, and I was in a head-to-toe rash. And he said, you're going to have to hold off because we can't have you in there again until you get this under control. So we're going to stick you in the sauna for a while. So for a couple months, I had to just do the sauna. And they were in the same room. And I would look at the Hackett machine feeling like that was my ticket, you know, but I can't get in it because it's making me too sick.
You had to work your way up there. Yeah.
Right. So I started out doing that twice a week. I still continue to do that now twice a month. And part of that is it's just financially, it's not feasible, you know, because as everyone listening knows, all of this stuff is not covered. It's all out of pocket. I had tried to get disability and I was denied 3 times. So all I wanted disability for was to pay for my treatment. I wasn't trying to get rich on it. I just wanted help paying for my treatment. Yeah. So it's something I continue to do twice a week or twice a month now instead of twice a week. Just, I would do it more, but financially it's just not feasible. So.
But there's still, I think that for so many of us that, you know, get well and get on the other side, there are, especially when we purchase our own modalities at home,
yes.
You know, like I have a biomat or a vibe plate or an ionic foot bath. I have it. I feel amazing. I'm still going to use it. You know
sure.
what I mean? We go through such trauma during our journey that we'll do anything to just stay healthy, right?
Yeah.
And I always say that I'm like, these things that you've invested in over the years, don't let them sit there and collect dust.
Right.
Use them. It's not going to hurt you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Continue to keep your immunity up and your body strong, because I think that's a huge part of why people either don't get fully well or they don't stay well. Is the fully well and stay well is it's a whole emotional side of this journey, not just the trauma that we go through when we're living the journey, but sometimes right. some blocked emotions from our childhood. It's just a huge, you know, like umbrella of things that we have to work through and go through. And at some point or another, right? A lot of people think, no, that's past childhood. I don't want to bring it up. At some point or another, you're going to need to, right?
If you want
to
get well
and stay well, you're going to need to. So just know that.
Right.
So now that I just had brought up trauma, can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
I know that it was, you know, severely impacted your family life and the dynamics
Absolutely.
Have changed and a lot of people go through that. So can you walk us through that?
Sure. Very challenging when you don't really know what the answers are. You know, it's a lot more fun to be married to someone who is Hawaii bound than bed bound. You know,
right?
I mean, I was amazing. You know, I was amazing. I was a leader in my business. I was a mother. I was a wife. I took care of my parents. And then you go from that to feeling like a burden, feeling like a burden, feeling your self-worth is gone. Your business is gone. Your savings is gone. Your livelihood is gone. Your friends are gone. Your team is gone. You know, what's wrong with you? You know, and financially, boy, the toll financially of everything you're doing is coming out of pocket. And we used to be able to do whatever we wanted. And now you're spending all kinds of money and you're not getting better. And,
yeah,
you know, not seeing any difference. You know, you used to have this business and now you don't leave the house. And I remember, you know, getting to the point where it's like, am I supposed to crawl in a ball and die? Is that what I'm supposed to be doing? And, you know, it's so hard on families. It's so hard on marriages. It's so hard on children. My daughter was very young, middle school when I got sick, high school senior when I almost died. I lived that myself. My mother was ill pretty much my entire life. And so, boy, I just, so hard on me to feel like my daughter was reliving what I, you know, lived. But I just kept pushing, and I had Rube Mom and at every function and kind of there physically, but emotionally. I mean, I remember one time I left the ER and then I went straight to her horse lesson. I mean, I just kept pushing, you know, I just kept pushing and I really thought my heart was going to stop because it would beat so hard and my collarbones were sticking out and every rib was sticking out. And there was pressure though, you know, there was pressure to still be a good mom and pressure internally and externally. And I just kept trying, you know, I just kept trying. And, you know, I would say, you know, my why of why I didn't give up, you know, was that blonde daughter I had and my elderly father who was starting with Alzheimer's. And I knew he was going to need me. And I certainly wasn't going to have my father bury his youngest child. He has six children, He passed 3 years ago from Alzheimer's. We did 10 years of Alzheimer's together. And I was with him towards the end. He was in assisted living. I was with him 5-6 days a week, going through the divorce at that time also. And I would barter with God every night. God, you know, if you want to take me during my sleep, because I was a chicken, I didn't want to go any other way. I was never going to kill myself. I was never going to do that. But if you want to take me during my sleep, that would be okay. And then I would wake up in the morning and get my daughter going for school. And I would thank God for not taking me. But then in the next breath say, how am I going to make it until 10 o'clock p.m.? Because at 10 o'clock, I felt like that's when I could zone out and sleep a little bit. And it was always, you know, thanks for not taking me. Like I said last night, I wanted you to, but now what are you going to do for me this during this day to make this bearable? And that was just every night. That was a cycle every night. And that's, I don't know. Those two people are the reason I'm sitting here talking to you right now.
Yeah, I think it's very important. And I was, you know, 4 years into trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And I had the same thoughts, you know, the doctors are telling me there's nothing really wrong with me physically, right? It's like, it's all in your head. It's whatever. Yep. And I thought, if nothing's wrong with me, I can't get better. If I can't get better, I can't live like this. And, you know, I've talked myself through all this stuff. And those people who do take their own lives, they are not chicken. They are strong, because I was too chicken too. I would much rather have gone in my sleep, but I thought the easiest way would be to swallow a bunch of pills. And that had been kind of my plan. I had been contemplating for a while. And then I found my why.
Yes.
Why do I want to keep going through this? Why do I need to keep going through this? And so I think it's so important if you're at a crossroads in your journey and you don't know if you can do it, you are afraid, you don't have the money, you don't have the strength, whatever it may be, stop and take a look at your world and find your why, because Absolutely. It's so important to have something to fight for.
Absolutely. You know, my daughter had been through so much already, seeing me so sick. And I tried so hard to shelter her. We didn't ever sit down with her and say, hey, mom is, you know, really sick, but maybe hindsight always is 20/20. Like maybe we should have sat down and told her more. I don't know. Who knows? I'm not sure what the right answer is. All I knew is if I swallowed those bunch of pills, the next morning she was going to find me or what, you know, whatever. And even though her life was difficult with a very sick mother, her life was going to be way worse with a dead mother. So she was the reason that I kept going. And then my sweet father, who was, you know, every day losing more and more of his life to the Alzheimer's beast, there was no way that man was putting me in the ground. No way. And he didn't
and they're
even
not supposed to anyways, right? No. We're supposed to bury our parents, correct?
So my father died in 21, never knowing that whatever was wrong with his youngest child. He, you know, I never verbalized to Dad, I have Lyme disease. You know, that was never a conversation. You know, I know that my brother, I have two brothers. One of them is kind of took over the role of my father once my father started, you know, really getting the throes of Alzheimer's. And, you know, there was a conversation with my ex. Well, you know, our sister is dying in front of her eyes. And there was just so much denial. And I don't know if that denial was fear. I'm not sure. But there was no wanting of reading any information or, you know, it was just, this isn't the life we used to have. And I'm just frustrated. And, you know, so I know it was very hard on him. I'll you know, absolutely give him
and
that.
I talk about that a lot, too, because, you know, it's like when you have a loved one that dies, right? And your friends and your family want to surround you, but they don't know what to say.
Absolutely.
Right? What do you say? It will be better. No,
sure.
No, maybe no. Not. Right.
It might not be, yeah.
They just, you don't know what to say. And I think it is so much like that when we go through our journeys, because one, a lot of times we're not even really understanding what we're going through. Right.
Right.
And how do we expect our friends, our family to understand what we're going through?
Sure.
And so sometimes they don't want to know. Sometimes they want to distance themselves. They don't know what to say. They want to be there, but how do I help you? There's just so many different dynamics that go along with this. And there are, I have a friend, Fred Diamond. He wrote a book called Love, Hope, Lyme, What Friends and Family Members Go Through That a Loved One mm-hmm. is Suffering. And there are a couple other ones out there that are fabulous books for your family members, right?
Absolutely.
For them to try to understand. And if they're not in it, right, they're not interested, buy a book, leave it on the coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one day they might pick it up, right?
Right.
Because it is, they go through, obviously not as much as we do, but it really is very emotional for those that love us to
sure.
not know what to do, how to help, and then even if they even understand what we're going through. And a lot of times we have to make the non-traditional decisions, right? Like we're not going to the doctor, we're not getting antibiotics,
yeah.
we're doing saunas and ozone, and like what is that, right? And
that
you're spending
sounds
all this
crazy.
Money. Yeah, it sounds
you're spending
crazy.
Money and you're not better.
And you're not getting better. And I've never heard of this. And why don't you just take an antibiotic? You know, so there's just a lot of conflict that can go along with this.
That's exactly it. And you know, you're doing all this non-traditional, and you know, and I would say I tried it your way for 7 years and I'm no better. So I need to do something else or I'm going to die. And so it's just so hard on the family dynamic. You know, just so very hard that, you know, the love is still there, but boy, it gets clouded when you have some kind of illness that for the most part, traditional medicine doesn't know what to do with. And so you are stuck between a rock and a hard place trying to save yourself. And, you know, now that I still deal with things, but now that I'm, you know, over that major, you know, the worst of it, I am the first person to, if you've got something going on and I'm hindsight 2020, if I could do it all over again, I'd become a naturopath, because every day I am helping somebody with something they have going on. I've gone to the doctor 6 years. I can't figure it out. They don't know what to do. I follow Dr. Living Good, Dr. Blake Living Good. I just love him. And
me too.
I am actually a moderator in one of his groups because they noticed I was answering so many questions And I just do it because I want to do it. I don't want anyone to suffer. So yes. Out of the thousands of people that are in his groups, a couple months ago, one of his coaches said, you know, Dr. Livinggood saw what you're doing in the group and wants you to be a moderator. And of course, you know, I just got a message today from, because in the midst of this, I also then ended up with Hashimoto's because Lyme was attacking my thyroid. And fatty liver, you know, pretty much every system was messed up. And I've been able to reverse Hashimoto's and fatty liver following his lifestyle. And there's so many women with Hashimoto's and they don't know what to do with it. And I just got a message today. I was encouraging this lady, you know, follow the lifestyle, fix your filters, fix your food. You know, we have all these little catchphrases. And she messaged me today and said, I'm in tears. I'm in happy tears that you said you reversed this and maybe I can too. So, I mean, I have no degrees behind my name, but boy, you got X, Y, Z. But boy,
sometimes we know way more than those that do have it, right? And it's just by personal experience. And, you know, this, I never, you know, and I always periodically remind the listeners, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not giving medical advice. Absolutely. We're just having a platform to share things. We've learned so many things the hard way. And absolutely. So there's no better feeling than giving back. And, you know, it could be a couple of little tips that we might say, well, this is how it was for me, that could save someone years. Tons of money to try to figure out.
Absolutely. So
I think it's amazing. And I appreciate that you do that. And yes, I follow him too. I think he's fabulous. Yes. And so, you know, we know that your marriage didn't survive the Lyme disease, right? But 28 years. And I'm just terribly sorry for that. It happens too often. But you're remarried. You have
happily remarried.
Amazing husband.
Happily remarried. Yes.
And it just is, you know, just another sign of resilience. Our life wasn't where we thought it was. You know, it wasn't maybe as perfect as we thought it was, or maybe it was, but that wasn't the life we were designed for. You know. Right. And so the other side of Lyme, it's a journey to get there. But it truly, every time people say their life is so amazing afterwards. So, and,
you know, my life, it's God stripped away everything that I thought was important. I thought having this business was important. Everyone looked up to me. You know, I used to have these women, how can I be you? How do I get to be you? You know, that's what everyone on my team would ask me. And he took my business. He took my family. He took my savings. He took my self-worth. He took all of it. But now I am very, very happily married to my soulmate. I found my soulmate at 52 years old. I am turning 56 in 2 weeks. Our honeymoon was a cruise to Bermuda. If you would have told me, I couldn't leave my city, let alone get on a cruise to Bermuda.
And not end up in the ER, right?
Exactly. There was no ER on the ship, you know. I remember when we were planning that trip, I couldn't have ever dreamt of going across, you know, the ocean to Bermuda with a man that adores me. That I adore him, and my faith is in a completely different place. You know,
you're in an amazing place that you never would have made it to had it not been for Lyme disease.
No, and so absolutely.
It really is a blessing in our lives. I say it all the time, and I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that, you know, when I jump through and strangle me for saying that. But every guest I have, you guys, they say it over and over. It's a blessing because the other side is a whole nother world that we never thought we would experience.
Right.
So it's absolutely. Just amazing. KJ, this has been just wonderful.
Thank you.
If there's anything, any one little thing that you could throw out to the listeners, maybe something that you would have done differently or a tip or right. We talked about a lot of them, but is there anything that you just want to kind of end the show with and would be a great piece of information to give?
A couple things. I think, again, this is in hindsight. If I could have gone back, I would have gone outside traditional care a lot sooner. That's one thing. Again, hindsight's 20/20. Yep. There's so much more support for chronic conditions now, whether it's online or locally. I would have tried to get connected better. So what maybe was lacking in one area, I could have been, you know, boosted up in another area. And I think keeping that why, if you got to write it on a sticky note in your bathroom, why am I going to do this another day? Why am I not going to end this? Because I wanted to end it so many times. I didn't want to end it, but I wanted the pain gone. I wanted the suffering gone. And I think those would be my main things that I would have sought alternative care sooner. I would have tried to get more support, and I would have just, you know, kept my why in front of my face.
Yeah. And you know what? Ditto for me. You took the words right out of my mouth, because those are the tips I would throw out as well. So
yeah.
Great, great advice. Thank you again so much.
Thank you.
I'm incredibly happy for you that you're in this new, beautiful life because of your Lyme journey and thriving at it. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.